Welcome to the show. Welcome to Your Thought Life podcast. I am your host, Michael Anderson. On this podcast, we help people overcome mindset challenges to fast-track personal and professional success. If you find the content useful, do subscribe and follow the podcast so you don't miss any of the episodes that are released on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. For those of you that are on a platform that supports it, thank you so much for leaving us a rating and a review. Your support of the podcast is truly appreciated. Today, we're following up on the Leadership Mindset series. Today, we have with us one of the coolest people I've been able to find with respect to transitions from the corporate world into her own business is Divya Smith. Divya, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Michael. It's an honor.
Absolutely. Yes, indeed. If you would be so kind to just give the audience a little bit about what you do and a little bit about your transition from corporate into your own practice.
Absolutely. Michael, thanks for having me today. You know, one of the things that I was taught from a young age on is to get married, get a really good job, start saving for retirement, and, you know, take care of kids as you go through all of that. And of course, save for college for them. With that mindset, I had started working really hard. I had internships at age of 17, 18, 19. So every single year in college, I was the youngest person to get an internship. And
wow.
I started my career from internships. So that is the way I was able to pay for my college. Then continued to kind of find great jobs, continue to get promoted. And that was my career for 20 years in technology. I started out as a developer and then moved up all the way to a senior director with teams, you know, from a range of 50 to 100 people that were reporting through me. So that was a really good journey. But in that journey, what I realized is every single time I got more responsibility, more work, it came with a lot of hours. That was very difficult when I had two kids at home, and they were getting to be in an age where they're really fun, right? So I'm going to pause here maybe and just take a moment. This young age is very difficult, but now you're in those, you know, 7, 8, 9 years. And it's really fun to want to spend time with them. But my job responsibilities wouldn't allow me to have more time with them. And even if you did, the stresses of the job, the things that you need to do, you know, even when you get back on Monday, I think weigh in on us for the whole weekend. That's where I've had kind of that pivoting moment to say, really, what am I looking from life? What do I have today? And how can I truly achieve that success? So in that kind of self-awareness journey, I have gone from starting my own company in real estate, which is very different than, you know, where I was in technology. But I truly resonated with my passion, which was how can I help more people achieve that financial freedom? So it's been really exciting to kind of be in that space now.
That's just beautiful story. Beautiful story. You know, I received numerous communications from the audience and from our listeners. There are numerous people out there who would desire to do what you've done. Suffice to say, you know, it's difficult for a man to do that, but you've done this as a lady, which is, in my opinion, just a little bit harder, much more than a little bit. Despite all of those, what I'm going to call roadblocks and challenges, now here you are, having prevailed, having successfully negotiated that time period. I want to hone in on your mindset, because certainly there were challenges, there were obstacles, there were times when you didn't feel like you could do it. Talk to us about one of those situations. Then what was your overarching mindset to propel you through those as each of those obstacles attempted to stand in your way?
Absolutely. I will probably share two of them. One in corporate America, because we know a lot of our audience is kind of younger professionals. Like when I was taking on a brand new role, how I kind of tackled the mindset for that. And then I'll talk about it in my new real estate business as well. In specifically corporate America, I am kind of mid-career. I was promoted to senior manager. And at that time, I was asked, hey, Black Friday, Cyber Monday is happening in 5 weeks, but we need a brand new leader to help us kind of through that process and run Target.com. So I worked at Target Corporation for 8 years in my corporate life. In that role, I knew the role was really big. I was very nervous about kind of taking on that role, not understanding a lot of behind the scenes systems and technologies and many other things. That was kind of a self-awareness realization moment that what are the things that I really need to learn in that time period and what are the things I can lean on others. So instead of trying to think about, hey, I need to do everything myself, can I now split up the thought process to say, here's the bare minimum I need to learn and here's what I can split up. That helped me really kind of take on that role. I jumped in, I talked to the senior leadership at that time, my vice president at that time. She had full faith in me. So of course she saw something that I wasn't seeing in myself, right? And You made a point earlier when we were just talking between you and I, we are our own worst critic. And I think That's kind of the space I was in. So I really took time to understand what are my barriers and try to really focus in on what I could do by myself versus what I needed to do with others. So that helped me kind of overcome some of those fears I had as a new kind of leader taking on that big role. Thankfully, I was very successful in that role, asked for a lot of help along the way. One of the things I will also share is we are not very good with asking for help. And Realizing that asking for help does not mean incompetence. It actually means self-awareness. You know what you're good at and you know what you need help with. That can set you apart even as a leader as you continue to go through that journey. I'll pause here if there's a question. I feel like you have a question for me.
I do have one teed up. So Three times now I've heard you make mention of the concept of self-awareness. Mm-hmm. This is, in personal development, one of the pillars. It's foundational from which to begin to build the rest of those self-development muscles To reach your goal, dream, or aspiration. My question is, just to piggyback on what you were saying, is where did you learn self-awareness and how long did it take you to master it?
The concept self-awareness, I've read about it multiple times. You know, you go through the leadership training as you're getting promoted. Most of my career, there was some or another class that I had to go to. But I think some of those concepts really are theoretical and they don't really hit you until you take a moment and try to remind yourself of what are you good at and, you know, what you need to build on. Now, that has been something, and I continue to work on it. So that's a process I would say I've been going through for the last 15 years. That's something I still continue to do even today, because the things I was doing 15 years ago and what I had to tell myself, I am not that person anymore. I have grown into this new person 15 years later. Now I'm, you know, doing it again and doing it again. Hopefully that's a practice everybody can do. If you can do it on a weekly basis, at a minimum, spend a couple hours every month to kind of think about, you know, what do I need to be self-aware about?
I absolutely love that for a number of reasons, because it sounds to me like these things that we were just talking about with respect to mindset, these obstacles that can occur while you're on the journey, what you're saying is you recognized that this thing was attempting to stand in your way. And because of the level of self-awareness you have mastered over this 15-year period, you were able to overcome those, becoming also at the same time various versions of yourself in the self-development spaces you're very well aware of, because I've seen you write about it before. There's this idea of a higher self, and this higher self is the pinnacle of what we can be. And we're iteratively moving toward that if we're on the self-development journey. With that in mind, I want to pivot for just a moment now into resilience. There most certainly had to be some times where you had to dig deep, as they say. You had to look within and do some introspection such that you could harness from your own self. And of course, as you noted earlier, from others, but principally from your own self, how can I be more resilient? Talk about that for a moment, because you noted some significant challenges moving from corporate into your real estate practice.
Absolutely. And I'll take the example of real estate. So as you mentioned, I recently moved into real estate. In that, basically, what I do is buy large scale properties. We fix it, rehab it, and then we sell it in 5 years. We purchase it along with investors. Now, an inherent thing that comes along with investors is you have to actually prove your business case and you have to show you have been doing this for a while. For me, going in brand new, I don't have that track record that, you know, people who may have been doing this for years and years. But what I do have is the ability to show that I know how to pick the right partners and right people. In that process of talking with multiple investors, I hear 90% of the times, no, hey, yes, it's a good opportunity. And that is kind of where I started, you know, earlier in the setting of the business. Thankfully, I have progressed along. But in that initial, say, first 3 months of the business, you hear more no's than yes. And you try to understand, you know, what may be happening. So to your point, it did require me to kind of dig in deep. It required me to think about why might they be saying no? What is their hesitation? And can I help overcome some of those things? Mm-hmm. Now, hearing no is one of the probably the hardest things for us as human. Then it also requires you to kind of go back and really think about, are they saying no to me as a person or just this opportunity? So to be able to separate yourself from the opportunity or the circumstance is really helpful in kind of building that resilience muscle.
Yes. Yes. I love that a lot. As you were going along, the next set of obstacles were that you didn't have the background as some of the other folks who were coming to the table. You had to align with some of these other folks who had been there and done that and had the t-shirt, the socks, and the matching cap. Even though you couldn't do that, you had to maintain a level of discipline, or in this case, resilience, to know that, hey, they're not saying no to me personally. They're just looking at the merits of what I've said and done or the situation before them. You didn't take it personal and you didn't allow no to be final. I think that is incredibly admirable for anyone because you talked about human nature. It is difficult for us to hear the words no. I don't know where it comes from, maybe childhood. But even today, with the background that I have, you know, in cognitive behavior therapy and neuro-linguistic programming, it's still even tough for me to sometimes hear that. But I'm wondering, though, as I kind of listen to you, you've got all of these big wigs, big investors, venture folks at the table with you. You're brokering this deal. When you look at them and you look at yourself, how do you contrast the level of commitment that's needed for you guys to be in this space doing what you're doing to achieve the outcomes that you guys are achieving?
Yes, that's a great question. You know, as I went along and trying to identify who are the people I'm going to partner with. So yes, absolutely. I don't have the 10, 15 years of commercial real estate buying experience. But what I do have is ability to be able to find right partner, ability to be able to find those right people with the accountability and the right mindset. I've been doing that all along. I practiced that all along in my leadership journey. It became less about me having those hands-on skills that I needed to maybe run a 300 apartment unit building, but to find the people who have done it, then make sure they are honest, they are people I can work with, they are organized, all the things I would look for in a business setting to then be able to do the work with me in my venture together. So that's kind of where it became really important for me to find the right people and partner to ensure the success of the projects I'm looking at is based on holistically all the people I'm bringing to the table. Thankfully, Michael, you know, one thing I had to share here is as I've gone in this journey, you know, more investors have seen that ability that I am bringing them the right opportunity with the right partner and right people. And that's most critical.
Yeah. The audience won't know of you until this episode is released, some of them, but I've been following you for quite some time. And by all accounts, by all measures, you are incredibly successful, yet you remain humble. I think that's a fantastic characteristic for someone who's on a very steep trajectory towards success, the higher levels of success. But as I think about that, sometimes we're tempted to look at, you know, ladies like you, and we see where you are now, but we don't know where you've come from. As I think about that, I wonder to myself in the form of a question, what kind of sacrifices have you had to make in order to make that transition, in order for you to get the right mindset, find the right partners. Certainly, there had to be some things that have come up that really challenged you in a way where you had to let something go to do something else.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, that mindset, so I'm an immigrant. I moved here when I was 17 from India. I had $100 in my bank account. And wow. That is all that I had apart from paying for my school education. So I paid for that. Thankfully, I got some 50% scholarship. I had half my tuition to pay. I had a very small meal plan. I think I had $200 to spend for a 4-month span on my school meal plan. In that process, what it pushed me to kind of think about is what's really important. So I come from, you know, really humble, small family, not being able to pay for the college tuition in the US, to then realize what's important in our life and what matters the most. So throughout my careers, as I have continued to grow and, you know, have promotions, have more money, I would say I have guarded myself from really keeping up with the Joneses. Like, I have not gone out and bought a big expensive house. I did not go and have a big fancy car, because I knew if I wanted to set up my future where I didn't have to work, I wanted work optional, I needed to have those funds available to me to invest it the right way.
Yes.
Saving along the journey has really helped me kind of through that. Of course, it means that, you know, traveling on a little bit cheaper flights than the nicer flights, you know, staying at a hotel than a very nice fancy hotel. I didn't take away from the joys of life, but we didn't go out of our way to like spend in expensive fancy places either.
I love that. There's a principle that we talk about quite often. It's called stewardship, making the most of the resources that have been allocated to you. It sounds like you have taken that to the next level. You know, certainly as I think about being on a Spirit airline versus an American airline, there's a $250 difference. It seems like those 6 or 8 inches would be really worth it for the extra $250. But does the plane get you to the same location? It does. And I think it's those sort of subtle, small things, being faithful in the small things, when you start to stack and compound those, they start to make something really significant. Kudos to you.
Thank you.
I've always, you know, as I look at your posts, I read through some of the things that you share with us, or some of the podcasts that I've seen you appear on, or even webinars. I wonder if there's ever been a time where you were so close to failure that you just thought you might give up. And a little while ago, we talked about no, and I didn't really see that you were close even when you heard the no to giving up. Has there ever been a scenario that's brought you really close to failure such that you were like getting ready to throw your hands in the air? And if yes, what did you do?
Yes, that's happened a couple times in my roles in corporate America, I'd say. Working with leaders that are just not supportive of you. They just don't see eye to eye for whatever personal reasons there may be for them. I know professionally, you know, it wasn't because of professional reasons, but whatever the motives that might have come, we didn't see eye to eye. And there were times where I was like, this is not worth it. Like, I'm ready to just give up and walk away.
Yeah.
And in those moments, when I was just so close, almost had that conversation with my husband, you know, I'm so close, this is just not worth the stress, not being able to sleep at night, being really worked up for little meetings. In those moments, I've kind of gone around and said, what if I didn't need to work? And I think that's kind of where the idea for me came about, like, how do I set myself up so that if I needed to walk away in this situation, I could. In those moments, initially when that happened, I couldn't walk away.
Yeah.
That was a lesson for me. Okay, I need to clearly talk to some of my mentors. I need to just have a conversation. Hey, I'm having a rough day. I'm having a difficult day with this person. Are they this way just towards me? Is it something I can do differently about? That's where the muscle of resilience, I think, is a key point, because you can't control other people's emotions. You can't control how other people are treating you, but you can control your response to it. That's where I started to kind of really, if it meant me taking a couple days off from work, if it meant me walking away so I can really have a rational thought and say, all right, giving up is easy, I can do that. And I came very close to doing it a couple times, but let me just sit it out for a couple days before I just throw in the towel. And that really helped me kind of get the perspective. Do I need the money that I'm getting from this job? Yes. If yes, okay, I need to figure out ways to make this work until I don't need this job. So I think we need to have that drive in us to say, I don't need this job. If I don't need this job, like, how do I get to that point? Like, if that's my goal.
Gosh, there's so many wonderful nuggets in what you've just noted. I'm thinking now about the transition that you made, literally tied to the previous question. Sounds like your level of awareness, your level of self-discipline were such that, hey, I'm not going to take the path of least resistance. I'm going to face this situation head on. I'm going to press through it for the moment. But at the same time, I'm going to develop a strategy that will allow me to use my energy for my own business. And I'm going to do that in a very calculated way over a period of time, that I no longer need the stressors. And if there's anyone listening that desires to know how you do it, Ms. Smith just told you how you do it. You stand fast with what you got right now. You get yourself an area of passion like she has. You think through what are the steps that are necessary to monetize this passion. You chart it out over a period of 1 year. Then you stay consistent with keeping yourself accountable to the milestones that are in the middle until you get to the other side. And then you can say goodbye.
Absolutely.
To corporate. That is a phenomenal approach. I support that 102%.
Thank you. You know, one of the things I would add to kind of what you just shared is I think culturally, there's just a lot of pressure on us knowing our passions at young age.
Yes.
I have written a post about this and I'm just going to call it out because I'm just so passionate about this topic. Kind of two words of passion words there. But the fact is when we are 18, 19, 20, going into college, we like follow your passions, find the major that interests you, do the thing you like. The reality is in that age group, in that time frame, we just haven't had enough life experiences to even know what we like, what we don't like. And I really believe that that pressure is real on younger generation. And we don't need to know our passions at that age. But there's just this, you know, kind of expectation that you should know at an early age and figure it out. This is maybe a little bit culturally for me, coming from a very humble family. You have to be able to support yourself. So figure out a way, get a job that gets your basic needs met first. Whatever that job is, get really good at that. Then as you build some money, really start having some savings, but then also, you know, go and figure out some passions, try new things, find yes. those passions and take time to find it. You will not find it at like 19, 20, 21, when you barely have any money, right? So it's a very, I'm very passionate about that topic. Like people need some time to make money, save money, and now, you know, spend it in places where you think you might have passions and then go towards it.
I totally agree with that. I'm thinking back in my own mind to when I was at age 17, 18, I didn't have a clue. All I knew was because I grew up in an incredibly impoverished community. All I knew is if I were to make it to age 21, I needed to find a way out of this community. So I went to the Army. I'm incredibly thankful for the discipline, for the rigor that they were able to instill in me and help me to overcome some very significant traumas. I'm glad you brought that up. But here's a real tough question for you, Divya. Mm-hmm. As a business owner, as a mother, as a wife, as a phenomenal speaker who is very much sought after, how in the world do you balance all of those pressures? Because it feels to me that there can be an exchange. Mm-hmm. You're in this corporate space, you have all of these position descriptions, then other things as noted, and then you swing that over to your own practice, you gain a level of success, level of financial freedom. But with that, there's some additional things that go along with it, like what we're talking about, your appearance here today. Couple of days from now, you're doing a webinar. You just finished one up a few days ago, yet you got a mom and you got a wife, you got to be those things and yet keep all of this in balance. How do you do that? That's a lot of pressure.
It is a lot of pressure, but I think we can do it all. I think that's just the fact of it. We all just need to accept it. We can't do it all, not all the time, but we can do it all over a period of time and really prioritizing. So my favorite word actually tends to be prioritize. Like every single morning I wake up and say, what is one or two things I'm going to get done today? And everything else is just, you know, hey, fun things that will just get done because my day is going through. Because once you have those one or two prioritized things done, the rest of the things will kind of follow along. So that's one. The other thing that I would add to that is, like you mentioned, I am a mom of two kids. Very active, really fun, very much developing their own personalities at this age. So I really make sure I prioritize time with them. It's 4 to 6 p.m., you know, 4 to 7, whatever that time is for that day, make sure that I'm seeing them. Of course, there are some evening events that end up going to and I can't spend that time with them. Then I'll try to make up for it the next day. But I try not to let that time to make up with, say, with my husband or with my kids go any longer than a week. So I think that helps me kind of mentally be balanced as well. And I don't feel guilty about doing other things. So trying to check in, hey, I was gone Tuesday and Thursday this week to an event, you know, but how can I make sure on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then on the weekend, I have a little more time with the family. So it cannot be balanced every single day, but how can you try to create that balance, let's say on a weekly basis? So that's kind of where I go with it. Along with my husband, you know, we try to do like evening out once a week is even tougher.
Very good. That's very healthy, by the way.
Thank you. But evening out, even with my husband, we try to do that. Sometimes we can't, but can we do like a walk over lunch? Can we just kind of add in a couple things during the week? And they may not need to be fancy 3-hour dine and dinner and movie kind of thing.
Right.
They can be an hour walk.
Love it. I wonder though, with all of that activity, do you have any practices that you could share with us with respect to your mental health?
Absolutely. So a couple of things I will share with you on that. So as I wake up every morning, one of the things I try to do, like I said, is I prioritize for the day. Second thing I'll try to do is 15, 20 minutes of stretches, exercise, whatever I have planned for today. I am a big avid CrossFit person as well. So
good
I try
for you.
To do 3 CrossFit workouts a week.
Ooh.
So if I'm not doing that day, then I try to look for other places to kind of take care of that self, you know, the self-care pieces of things.
Yes.
I love reading kind of nonfiction books. I know it's unusual. Most people like fiction. I actually prefer nonfiction books in general.
I as well.
Yeah. So just, you know, finding a few pages to read in that. If I can't read it, I try to balance it with a podcast. I almost prefer reading, but if I can't have that time, I'm in the car a lot. So then, you know, listening to a podcast can be helpful too. And I find that therapeutic.
Very cool. Last question.
All right.
Oftentimes, we can't see all of the steps that are necessary until we arrive someplace. Then it's very easy for us to retrace where we've come from. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people that are going to listen to this podcast and they're going to want to know, how do I, from a mindset perspective, get from where I am today to where she is right now? If you were to coach them or mentor them from a mindset perspective, what would you share with them?
The one big piece of advice that I got from a mentor of myself for me that I would probably want to pass along is you really need to think about your next step as a growth in yourself. It cannot be just about money. It has to be about growth. So let's say you are thinking about taking a brand new job. More money, sure, that's great. That's a good side benefit. But most importantly, will it teach you something new? Whether that be in business, whether that be in planning, whether that be in strategy, whether that be in execution of things, will it teach you something new? Because along with that money, you also will grow. And that will pay a lot higher dividends than any more money that could.
That's phenomenal. That's fantastic. Investing in ourselves.
Absolutely.
We were very fortunate today, audience, to have Divya Smith with us. Divya, do you have any final remarks?
I would say life is a beautiful journey, and let's treat it like a journey. It is not a destination. Enjoy small moments along the way. Take those wins. If you were not good at something, say, last month, but now you can do it better, congratulate yourself, you know, celebrate yourself, because that's all it's about.
That's fantastic. I want to thank you once more for taking the time to spend with us today. I've got almost a whole card of nuggets and topics that I need to unpack on some of the future episodes. So thanks again so much for sharing out of your treasures, for sharing out of your knowledge bank of experience on the ground. I think that really resonates well with this specific audience. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for tuning in, and that concludes this episode. I appreciate your time and your attention. You can reach me on IG at Your Thought Life, Y-O-R, Thought Life, no spaces. I want to remind you that you are enough, you can do it, you are uniquely equipped to realize your goals. Until next time, take care and be safe.